and walking the dog, which is a great time to ponder the same things I was pondering as I woke up this morning and as I went to sleep last night. And on this particular day, it's the possible purchase of a new vehicle, a replacement vehicle, I guess. The moment I realised that I could trade in the BMW F650 GS motorbike that I bought a couple of years ago for very close to what I paid for it, the moment I thought maybe I could get a bike that I'm a little bit happier with. Sounds quite extravagant, but I do, you know, spend a lot of time contemplating purchases of this magnitude. The reason why I bought the BMW, I had big ideas that with all the panniers and all the rest of it, I could use it primarily as a work vehicle, beat the traffic. You can't really. With a BMW, the panniers, you're almost the size of a car. And that my normal fatalist approach to survivalism, be it urban or otherwise. Well, you've seen the film The Road. Look at The Road. Well, you might not have seen The Road. Bloody depressing, but great book. Nevertheless, when and if... and I'm saying this with a smile, society does collapse, I don't necessarily think it is going to be the BMWs that will carry us to safety. It's going to be the Mad Max-esque bikes that are bolted and cropped together from any old parts that are left around. The bikes with carburettors and without the engine management systems. I had to change the battery the other day on the BMW, and I almost had to take the bike apart to do it. That's not practical. And then when I did take everything off, and I was reading, you know, what exactly I should do, it said that if you get the contacts the wrong way around, you write the bike off. You what? You write the entire bike off when you create a short, because you will melt the electrical loom. I just thought, this isn't the bike for me. I kind of fell out of love. Don't tell Motor Mentally, which is obviously the Twitter account. The Twitter account Motormentally may well, should I go through with changing my motorbike, have a Doctor Who style metamorphosis probably, and become the Twitter account probably to whatever my new bike is. Now, I looked at some of the happiest, most pleasurable vehicles I've had in my life, and there is a theme there. The Land Rover, with its relatively basic engine, adjusted for biodiesel, timeless in many ways. The Land Rover shape, Minis. I've had a couple of really beautiful old style Mini Coopers. The new Minis are BMWs, and as a, I guess, a more of a visual person, as a photographer, looking at a road or a photograph of a road that has a Mini in it, I love the whole outside of fashion concept. The whole fact that this could be today, this could be 50 years ago. That's a purchase that should last you, because, you know, the Phaser of 3 years ago looks very dated. Some people go for this kind of retro look. I don't want to be constantly upgrading my bike every year like so many people do. I went and had a look at what was my dream bike when it came out. The Brits, when they crashed their race bikes, would leave the fairing off, twin headlight it up, and the kind of street machine, muscly race bike was born. And one company, Triumph, basically started creating these, in my mind, unbelievable, beautiful bits of engineering. And yesterday I spent a day at the Triumph motorcycle garage in Woburn called Pure Triumph, and really, really nice people there. And they basically said, look, take anything you want. And I got what was equivalent to just a great track day experience. Hang on a second.
Come here.
When I say track day, obviously I was riding within the legal parameters of the law, But they're in such a really, really nice area. It was a great drive, a huge lap around Woburn and back, and I got to try the dream bike that I always wanted, the Speed Triple. Then they've got the Street Triple, which, dare I say it, is actually even better, because for the price, for the value for money, smaller engine, both bikes handle like an absolute dream. Yet I looked down at one moment and I was going a lot faster than I felt I was going. I was taking corners a lot faster than I've ever taken corners in my life. This bike was designed to be just a handling god. It was, it's such a low centre of gravity, so light. And for me, I thought, wow, this is just too good. If it's possible for something to be too good. I think I said it's the most fun I've ever had, you know, on a bike. And it wasn't an exaggeration. I just couldn't explain how I felt about this inanimate object, the engineering that goes behind these things. And if you look at the history of Triumph, it's pretty incredible story. A British company still, when so many of our British companies have fallen by the wayside, when you think of who owns Land Rover and Jaguar and all the rest of it. I don't know, I don't get patriotic about anything really, but I do feel proud. I've got a Brompton folding bicycle, and I'm very proud about the fact people call it an engineer's bike. It's effectively handmade. A lot of people will argue that Triumph motorbikes are effectively handmade. If you go to the factory, there are certain finishes and certain things that they will do to the bike that you won't see outside of anything but the most prestigious high-spec, you know, Porsche manufacturers and all the rest of it. They really, really care about the machinery. But I must say, the Triumph Speed Triple, as much as it's been something I've been looking at for a while, I don't think I'm ever in that much of a rush to go anywhere, because it would get me there faster and quicker and just a massive grin on my face than any other bike I'd possibly ridden. I kind of think and feel a little bit differently now that I'm a dad. Maybe I should go back to one of the other vehicles which very, very unpretentiously took me places. And I was always grinning from ear to ear. And it was my Vespa copy. It wasn't even a real Vespa. It was an LML Star Deluxe. And it looked just like a Vespa. And I badged it up as Piaggio so no one would really know. But it was slow. And you could... Well, it wasn't necessarily slow. I guess you can still rip through town at a good pace. But for a 125, it meant that the pace, I could look around and I could enjoy the countryside, enjoy the surroundings. And it was jump on, jump off. There wasn't all this adjust back boxes, panniers, faffing around and all this kind of stuff. There was something about it that really, really, it's just so much fun. Yeah, it was just a little bit too small for me to do any type of commuting. The first bike I got on yesterday, on the other hand, the first bike. Are you still listening to this ramble? Respect if you are. This is me more sorting stuff out in my head. But if you're listening, fine. The first bike I got on was kind of a modification of a bike I wanted for a very, very long time as well, and that was the Triumph Bonneville. But I would never... I mean, when I first got into bikes, my first proper kind of bike after my 50cc's was the CM125 Honda Custom. I had this little biker gang. There was three of us, and obviously we couldn't backpatch because we'd get beaten up by the slaves and the pagans, who were the local backpatch biker gangs. But we had arm patches, little Punisher symbols, because I was well into the Punisher comic and I knew a guy that drew for Marvel. And this bike was, I found out later, hobbled together from two stolen bikes, or a write-off and a normal bike. And it was by a guy called Moggy, kind of a legendary biker from Rugby Way. And I never really, you know, had any animosity against him, because I wrote the bike off myself anyway, so it wasn't a big deal that it had either been pre-written off or stolen or whatever, I don't know. But he was always working on this Bonnie, and I just thought, this is an amazing bike. It's very, very old. He's always tinkering with it. But there aren't that many working parts, as far as I can see. He always had the carb out, just having a tweak, throw it back in, all the rest of it. And I thought, that's a proper motorbike. And then when I arrived at the Triumph garage yesterday, I see the Triumph Scrambler, 900cc, just a little bit less than 900cc, I think. Absolutely beautiful in red and white. A lot of chrome. Don't normally like a lot of chrome. I'm not one of these people for cleaning bikes. They tend to gather a certain patina, and I just tend to ride them and put them in the garage. And I jumped on this first of all, and I'm not sure why they gave me it first. Maybe because, okay, start off slow, work yourself up to the big serious boys. You know, I've rode the Tiger, I rode the Speed Triple, I rode the Street Triple, but I started off on the Triumph, the Scrambler, and when I sat on it, it just felt like a comfy old soft bike that I could sit here for quite a while. Then when I started it up, oh my lord, I think they might have done something to it, but it sounded like the most beautiful sounding engine I've heard in a long time. I don't know, I'm not much of an auditory person, but it definitely had an effect on me. And then when I pulled off, and there's very little shielding from the bike, you're feeling everything. You're feeling the impact of the wind as you accelerate, you get pushed a little bit down. It's single seat on this, it's been modded to have the single seat, not the dual seat. And, you know, you catch your reflection in a shop window, and it really could be any time in the last God knows how many years. It felt like a bike that if you opened up the dictionary with pictures and looked up the word motorbike, there it is, the Triumph Scrambler. I just fell in love with it. So to get on these precision, highly tuned, highly specced, amazing marvels of modern engineering blew my mind, but it reminded me of just how perfect simplicity can be, and that less is more. And I've been racking my brains because I'm a bit of a lazy bike rider when it comes to cleaning and polishing and all the rest of it. I saw a matte green, matte black engine one, which was kind of an attempt at replicating Steve McQueen's bike from The Great Escape, you know, the bike that he jumps over. This is what the bike looks like, actually. Jumps over the high barbed wire fence at The Great Escape. And it wasn't until this morning when I actually I kind of DM'd Ian Rodder, so I know he's well into his retro bits and bobs, and said, what would you do? Would you go for the red, white and silver? Or would you go for the green with a matte black? Sounds like a really inane, you know, this isn't a problem I'm having, this is just, you know, a taste question what do you call it? I don't know, it's too early in the morning, I haven't even had my coffee yet, but he, brilliant answer anyway. He kind of used a word that you'd normally use in art, I suppose, and he said maybe the matte green and the black is a bit pastiche. And that totally sorted my head out, totally explained to me that, yes, if I'm going to have what is effectively a modern classic, a classic bike brought up to date but kept with all the styling, and this bike, there's no ECUs, it's not dripping with well, there might be, but I mean, not to the extent of the BMW, it's not dripping with technology, dripping with electronics. This is the kind of thing that if I broke down in the middle of nowhere, there's a possibility, there's a chance I could find out what's wrong with it. If not, any garage could most likely sort this out. It's very, very underpowered for the engine. It's not pumping out as much as the Thruxton or the other bikes that use the same engine. I hope I've got the specs right there. Therefore, you know, it should do 200,000 miles, no problem at all. And if that's the case, then I'm even more excited about it. But getting my head around the fact that a modern classic is one thing, but then trying to replicate a particular kind of bike in a modern classic, you're almost replicating on a replica, and it is a bit pastiche, so I don't know. I'm troubling myself because it feels like a big purchase. It feels like something I need to justify. When really, you know, I'm going to actually be doing a bit of a trade for trade here as well, and offer some of my social media services in payment, which I, any company that's flexible enough to waive a cash, because they want to build their skills, especially in communicating, is more than all right by me. I love the fact companies can be flexible. So yeah, as ever, a purchase like my very weird Nissan POW and other purchases in the past has become a bit of a social media collaboration. And yeah, I'm definitely much clearer of mind. Today is Alan Turing's and my brother's birthday. My brother's Danny Payne on Twitter. If you look up Alan Turing, you'll realise why he's not actually officially on Twitter. It's an incredible story. And today I will be at Bletchley Park with a lot of other people, talking about Bletchley Park and its role, talking about Alan Turing. But also I might actually be ordering a motorbike. Hey ho, thanks for being with me on my dog walk and listening to me ramble. It's the 23rd of June 2010, and I'm documentally on Twitter. Bye bye.